Turn in your Bibles tonight to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. We will close out 1 Peter 1 and go into the first three verses of chapter 2 tonight. We started out by this section by living in hope. And that was the first 12 verses of this chapter. And we have a hope in Christ. Amen. Peter had hope. Even when he denied Christ, Christ still loved him. And Christ still loves us. And basically, Peter was talking about all the things that we can look forward to. Last week, we went through living in holiness in verses 13 through 21. And what we need to do is we need to look forward with hope. We need to get our eyes off of the world and set our affection on Christ. We need to be prepared. We need to be looking at Jesus. And then we also need to be sober. We need to be proper in our actions. Then we need to look to God. We need to look to God expecting, first of all, to see Him. And then for Him to act. And then for His will and His glory to be shown. And we know that He is enduring and our gaze needs to be enduring. And then we need to live to do good. We need to live by being devoted and by being different. Every tree is known by its what?
Fruit.
A corrupt tree cannot bring forth good fruit, neither does a good tree bring forth corrupt fruit. And so Jesus says we're supposed to be like Him. We need to live in line with God's holiness in verses 15 through 16. We need to embrace God's standard. We just can't take the cop out and say, well, I'm just a sinner. I'll just keep on doing my own thing because I can't help it. Yes, you can. Well, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. You can do it. We need to empty ourselves of sin by a purging. And then once we are purged, we need to stay purged. And we need to have a prevention of sin entering our life. And then we need to esteem God highly. Then lastly, in verses 17 through 21, we need to live in awe of God. We need to lean on God's sovereignty. No matter where you are, if you know Christ, He's there with you. No matter what you're going through, if you know Christ, He's there with you. And if you don't know Him, He's waiting for you to call on Him. He's willing to lift you up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set your feet upon a rock. We need to look at Christ's sacrifice. We just came through the Passion Week. We just came through Easter. And that should be burning in our mind of what Christ has done. And then we need to live liberated lives because we are His. It says that raised Him up and we need by your faith and hope might be in God. So we need to believe on Him. And then we need to believe in Him. So tonight, we're going to be looking at verses 22 through the first three verses of chapter 2. And we're going to talk about living in love. Living in love. Living in Christ means living in His love. Living in Christ means living in His love. The first point tonight is that we need to live in love. We start out with this in verses 22 and 23. And here in this passage, Peter writes, he says, seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned or unbridled love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. There's three things that we need to see in this passage. First of all, to live in love is a sign that you are obeying God's truth. It says, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. There's several things happening here. First of all, the truth will set you free. You'll know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. And when you do those things, you will have purified your soul. If you are living the truth of God, you can't live in sin. We'll still sin, but you just can't willingly, voluntarily live in it. It will cause a purification. The Word is a cleansing fire. It's all sorts of things. It's a hammer. There's all sorts of pictures of this. And we're supposed to allow the Word to work and dwell in our hearts, what?
Richly.
So the first thing is purifying God. And then the next thing is obeying the truth. It's one thing to know the truth, but it's another thing to obey it. To actually do it. Now, we can't do God's truth on our own, but we have to have the Spirit. So we need to obey God's truth. In 1 John chapter 1, or verse 3, chapter 3, verses 18 through 19, it says, "My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in what? But in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are of the what? We are of the truth, and shall assure our hearts before Him." Peter's saying the same thing. If you know God, it'll purify you. And you know if you're right with God or not. So the first thing is of living in love is a sign of obeying God's truth in your life. Secondly, it should be sensed by others in the body of Christ. It should be sensed by others in the body of Christ. It's unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Here's the point. Our love for one another should have no limits. Christ's love had no limits. He was going, "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his what? For his friends." He has no limits. He said he loves the sheep and he gives himself for the sheep. So we need to have unfeigned love of the brethren. That's fellow believers. That's in this body. That's also others that are in the universal body of Christ. In John chapter 4, verse 20, John writes something very similar. He says, "If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar.
Right.
For he that loveth not his brother whom he has seen, how can he love God whom he has not seen?"
Right.
So our love for one another should be sensed by the other people. Our love for one another should be sensed by us. Our love for one another should be a witness to other people. Jesus, in John chapter 13, verse 35, says, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have what? Have what? Love one to another." But you know something? We say, "Well, my love only goes so far." Or, "This is my limit." Or, "This is what I'm going to do." That's not unfeigned love. Christ gave His all. We need to do our all.
Amen.
So the issue is to live in love. It is a sign of obeying God's truth. It is sensed by others in the body of Christ. And in verse 23, it is sourced or provided by the Word of God. It says, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the what? By the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." In 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for what? Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." So the first thing we need to do is we need to live in love. In verse 24 through the first verse of chapter 2, the second thing we need to do is we need to lay aside. We need to lay aside. And there's three things that we need to look at when we're looking at this. First of all, what are we supposed to lay aside? All the weight and the sin that so easily beset us, and run the race with patience. We need to lay aside ourselves and all the things that are stumbling blocks in our life. We need to lay those aside in light of our time on earth. In verse 24 it says, for all flesh, that's all of us, is as grass. And all of the glory of man as the flower of grass. You know, over the last couple weeks we've seen bluebonnets. The bluebonnets flower, and then all of a sudden they're gone, and you won't see them until next spring. It's a very temporary thing. All the flowers pollinate in spring, and that's why we're all suffering right now. And the issue is, but it's a temporary thing. It's a temporary thing. It says, for all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man is as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. So the issue is our time down here is short. We have a limited amount of time, but the time that we have down here, we need to be preparing for eternity. We need to make the choice for Christ. And then we need to have a life for Christ. And you can't live your life for Christ unless you lay aside every weight. In James chapter 4, verse 14, he says the same thing. He says, whereas ye know not what shall be on the tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. You know, when you were a small child, you never thought about your length of your life. When you were a teenager, you thought you were indestructible. When you were a young adult, you thought you knew it all. And now as you get older, you start seeing you're on the other half of this. You're on the downward trend for this. And then people say, well, I wish I had done that. That should never be in our vocabulary. If Christ asks us to do it, we should do it. And we should never have any regrets about, I wish I had done this in the past. Yeah. In Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16, it says that we're supposed to redeem the time. Redeeming the time because of what? Because the days are evil. So why should we lay aside all this? Because we don't have very long here on earth. Amen. Our life is very temporary. And if we don't get busy now, we won't get busy. So we need to lay aside in light of our time on earth. We need to lay aside in verse 25 in light of God's word. In light of God's word. It says, but the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. You know, everybody is searching for truth. They want to know truth. God is truth. If you don't know God, you don't know truth. But if you know God, you should know truth. And the issue is in light of God's word, we should lay aside all this. Because God says you're supposed to be a new creature. Old things passed away. Colossians chapter 3, put on the new man, put off the old man. Romans chapter 6, but we walk in newness of life. We're not supposed to yield ourselves willfully unto unrighteousness anymore. So there's actions that we have to take. In James chapter 1, verse 25, he says this, but whoso looketh into the what? Perfect law of liberty. We went through Psalm 119 verse by verse. And we saw all the benefits of the word of God. And so it says, but whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and what? Continueth therein. This issue about lay aside, we lay aside because our time is short. We lay aside and we have to constantly lay aside. We have to constantly put on the new man. Paul says, I die daily. I am crucified with Christ. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And so it says, but whoso looketh in the law of liberty, perfect law of liberty, and continueth them, he be not a forgetful hearer, Now, how many of us forget things? Okay? We all do. We can't forget God. Don't forget His benefits. There's all sorts of verses in there that we're not supposed to forget those things. But a what? Doer of the work. If you know the word, you will work. If you know the word, you will work. It's not optional. You will be a doer of the work. This man shall be blessed in his deed. You want God's blessing in your life? Do the will of God. Get saved. Follow Him. Do the word of God. Do the work of God. And you'll be blessed in your deed. So we need to lay aside, in light of our limited time on earth, we need to lay aside in the light of God's word. Then lastly, we need to lay aside in light of our old nature. Christ gave several illustrations. He says you can't take a new piece of cloth and put it in an old garment to patch it up, because it won't fit. You can't sew it in there. It'll get worse. You can't put new wine in old bottles, because they'll burst and everything will be spewed out. What we need to do is we need to do this daily. In verse 1 of chapter 2, it says, wherefore, laying aside, that's where the point comes from. Now, what's that little word next? All. All. But you know, sometimes we like to hold on to things. Sometimes we like to limit our love. We like to keep in control. No. We're supposed to lose our control in the love of God. Wherefore, laying aside all malice. Well, I'll forgive that person, but I won't forgive that person. Nope. All malice. And all guile. Okay? And all hypocrisies. And all envies. And all evil speakings. Either He is Lord of all, or He's not at all. God wants all of us. And and you've gotten rid of all this stuff, you will be what? Pure. It all works together. If you are pure, you won't have this in your life. You won't have malice. You won't have guile. You won't have hypocrisy. You won't have envy. You won't speak evil of one another. And if you're doing that, you're not pure in heart. And if you're not pure in heart, you're not doing God's love. Works that way. So, lay aside in the light of our old nature, because it wars against our new nature. The outer man wars against the inner man. Romans chapter 7 is a great illustration of that. But James says this. In James chapter 1, verses 20 and 21, says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You can't hold a grudge against someone else in your family or church and expect to do the work of God. Expect to live in the love of God. It doesn't happen. He says, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And here's James. He says the same thing. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. There's that little word again. All. Quit holding on to things. We have the mind of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness and receive with meekness the what? The engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Now let's go back to Peter. What does he say here? Okay? He says the word of God endureth forever. He says it's all about the gospel that's preached to us. And because of that, we've been redeemed from that. We can lay aside all this stuff. We can lay aside all this stuff. So the first thing is we need to what? Live in love. It's a sign. Okay? It's a sign. It should be sensed by others. Okay? And it should be sourced by the Word of God. You can't love people unless you love God. The way God wants us. The second thing is, we need to lay aside, in light of our short time on earth, in light of God's Word, and in light of our old nature. And in verses 2 and 3, we need to long for God's Word. Now there's two things here that we need to look at. First of all, we need to have an insatiable desire for God's Word. Job says, I esteem the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. Now, we all know about babies. Okay? When babies want to eat, what happens? They eat. Okay? They eat. And if you don't give it to them, they will yell and scream and everything else because they want to eat. If you put something other than what the baby's expecting, what do you get? You get that, right? You can't trick a baby in what it wants. It wants food. And how often does a baby eat? All the time. All the time. So now, when we see that, we can kind of get a clearer picture of this. In verse 2, it says, as newborn babies desire the what? The sincere milk of the Word. Okay? So we need to have a desire for the Word of God, like a baby has desire for milk. Or for being fed. Not only that, we need to have a desire for the right stuff, not the wrong stuff. Baby understands you're trying to trick it. We should desire the what? The sincere milk of the Word, the true milk of the Word. Don't swallow everything that the world has out there. Don't swallow any of it. Basically, we're supposed to take what's here in God's Word and use it. And there's the result. The result of it is this. If we desire the sincere milk of the Word, we get the sincere milk of the Word, and we will what? Grow thereby. How are you going to grow in your Christian walk? By the Word of God. You can't do it any other way. So we need to long for God's Word. In Psalm 42, verse 2, it says, my soul thirsteth for God. Christ in the Sermon on the Mount. Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? It starts out with, as a heart panteth full of water, so my soul desires you. That's how that song starts out. So we need to have an insatiable desire for God's Word. We ought to take a lesson from the babies. You know, the Bible says a little child shall lead them. All you do for your Bible reading is what you get on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night or those three nights, you're not going to grow. You need to have it daily. Frequently. Fully. Sincerely. in order to grow your body. So you need to long for God's word, an insatiable desire for that. And in verse 3, the last part of this, is that there is an indwelt desire. Now Peter puts a caveat. It says, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. If you don't know the Lord as your Savior, you've not tasted His grace. And if you know His grace, you'll want to know more about Him. But the natural man careth not for the things of God. He can't discern them because they are spiritually discerned. Yes, you can be lost and read the Bible and apply its principles and get the result because God's word won't come back void. But as far as growing, as far as knowing the mind of God, you're going to miss the whole point. You're going to miss the whole point. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Now here's some issues about Bible study. You should do Bible study routinely, but not ritualistically. If you have a bad attitude trying to read God's word, it's not going to work. You have no taste for God's grace right now. Before you read God's word, you need to have a taste for God's grace. That makes sense. You need to be expecting. When you want to hear God's word, you need to be expecting that it's going to change your life. If you go in here, like some students of mine, hey, teach me. Don't expect me to read the book and get the answer. Fine. See what happened in the test. I guarantee you what happened. The issue is, as far as our Christian life is concerned, how can we live successfully if we have this kind of an attitude to God? We need to open up our hearts and our minds to Him. In Psalm 34, verses 8 and 9, it says, O taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, we all have our favorite food, right? And I'm not going to go down the list of favorite foods. But the issue is, what happens when you experience a favorite food? It excites you. It enlightens you. It tastes well. It changes your attitude. You know, we talk about comfort food, right? It makes you happier. It makes you safe. It gives you all those things. That's what God's word ought to do. Right. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is what? Good. Blessed is the man that what? Trusteth in Him. If so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want to them that fear Him. Yeah. So tonight, the issue is, do we live in love? Have we laid aside? Are we longing for God's word? Or is it just something that's on the sidebar of our life? Here's the reality. We should not have to work hard to love God.
Right.
It should be a natural outcome of our relationship with Him. 1 John chapter 4, verse 8, and I'll close with this. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love.
Amen.
Are we living in love tonight? Only you know that answer. If not, get that right tonight. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this time. Help us, Lord, to live in your love. Help us, Lord, to be unencumbered by all the things that hold us back. Father, help us, Lord, long for your word as a baby cries for milk. Lord, I just pray that you just help us to meet with you tonight, that your Holy Spirit would fill this place, and Father, it would change our lives. And we ask these things in Jesus' name.